Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. This makes you want to shout, right? God is definitely worthy, right? I'm not a real shouter, but you know, I still love Jesus, right? Hey, but he's working on me, and I hope he's working on you as well. Tonight, we're going to be in Psalm 98 like we talked. All this has been about a call to worship and praise our God. Okay, and that's what we're called to do as believers. Is it still hot out there? I'm under the fried pie lamp, so you know it's gonna be a little hot up here too. I'll try not to keep you long, but I think they already stole some of my time. But anyway, I'm gonna keep it anyway. Okay, we're just gonna get it done. Ready to get going? Okay, tonight a call to worship and praise our God. Tonight in Psalm 98, we are being called to worship and praise our amazingly graceful and loving God. And that's not just an invitation. It is an invitation for you to come and praise our God. But I tell you what, as a believer, I believe that's an expectation. It's an expectation that we praise and worship our God. Okay, I believe that if you become a born-again believer, you're expected to praise our and worship our God. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to take it even a little further. If you're on this earth, you're expected to praise and worship our God. Okay? All of us are expected to praise and worship our God. Although we should always be in an attitude of praise and worship, sometimes we need to be encouraged and reminded of how good our God is and that He alone is worthy to be praised and worshiped above everything else. So tonight in God's Word, we're going to look at this psalm, and there's some reasons in that psalm that we have to worship. There's a lot of reasons, okay? We'd be here all night if we talked about all the reasons that we have to worship God. But there's some in this psalm that we're going to point out tonight, okay? We are to praise and worship Him above our schedules. Anybody? Our personal lives. Above the things that we hold so near and dear to our hearts, and through our difficulties and struggles in life. See, we're still supposed to worship and praise our God even when things are going bad. That's hard to do, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you what, God is worthy, and God is worthy to be praised in the midst of anything. Circumstances should never dictate your praise and worship to the Lord, okay? And all of us, from one time or another, this little shadow is killing me. I got a big head or something going on here. So if y'all see me ducking out here like this, I'm just trying to read. All right, I got some bad eyes. All of us, at time to time or another, have lost perspective and have slipped in this area of praise and worship. Amen. Anybody been there? That's why we need a correct understanding of how much our God has done for us and already, and how much that He loves us, making salvation available to you. Man, salvation. If God didn't do anything else for us but save us, that should be enough. You know. But we're fickle. We want more than that, okay? But that's okay. God gives us more, all right? And if we just stay close to Him, He protects and He provides you with many blessings and provisions, not only to make it in this life, but to thrive with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God wants for us, okay? Our God is good, amen? Our God is good, amen? All right? And He always has been. He didn't just get good when we come in here and had a good praise service, okay? God was good for you every time walked in here. All right? And so we're here to praise Him. And I looked those words up. That word praise means to celebrate. We all know how to celebrate, huh? Okay, I ain't going to dance for you, but that's all right. All right? And we all know how to sing. Hey, some of us not as good as others. Okay, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've heard some of y'all. No. But it don't matter. Singing to the Lord. We're singing to the Lord. We're singing, making a joyful noise. It doesn't have to sound good to me or anybody else, okay? And I want to free you people because we're all called to sing, okay? I just sing on the inside. Well, go ahead. Let some of it out every now and again. Hook us up, you know? But the one I liked about it was boast. This is a part of praise. You get to boast. I mean, man, we're talking about praising God. We get to boast about the things that He's done. We praise God for some things. And, you know, and we talk about it inside here and in the service and everything. But praise and worship shouldn't just be here. We're talking about personal praise and worship, too. We need to have times, personal. I'll tell you, some of the greatest personal times I've had is in my car when I'm boasting and praising the Lord on my own, you know, lifting up my hands. Just one. I can knee drive though a little bit, but you know, just one normally. All right, but still, there's times in our cars, man, we can have, and it doesn't affect anybody but us because it is a personal thing. Okay, it is a personal thing. And worship, that word worship means to bow down. Man, that might be literal for some of y'all. Might be a time where God asks you just to bow down and worship Him, but He does ask us to bow down in our lives and get out of the way and let Him be God. You know. To bow down because He's worthy, because His worthiness. We bow down out of respect. We bow down out of reverence paid to a divine being. Because God's higher than us, okay? He's divine, we're not. So we bow down to him. And the one I like is to regard with great and extravagant respect and honor and devotion. And we're not supposed to just bow down. It's supposed to be great and extravagant, okay? And so our devotion to God should not be this. Worship means you worship something. And I know y'all know how to worship certain things. We all worship some things, right? And also, a lot of times we worship celebrities. Man, I'm so tired of hearing about LeBron James, you know? I don't care. There you go. Praise the Lord. Who? That's good. He's some famous basketball player. They made such a big deal out of it. Man, you know, I'm telling you. God is God. LeBron James ain't nothing, man. I'm telling you, so many people spend so much time with that stuff, and we give this world, we let this world just mess with us, you know. So you want to know, what do I worship God? What gets first place in your life? That's just a question that I ask. Okay. And when you genuinely praise and worship God, it shows something. It shows a relationship and connection with God. Okay, when you worship God, you're showing yourself that you have a relationship with God, okay? And I'm not talking about that religious thing. I'm talking about a relationship where it's just you and God. You're worshiping him, okay? And it also shows giving God control of your life when you worship and praise God, okay? You're saying, God, you're God, I'm not. Take over. That's what salvation is. That's what salvation is. God, you're God, I'm not. I messed it up. Take over. It's that simple. And it shows that you have faith in God. But when you don't worship God, it shows the lack of every one of those as well. And if you're not worshiping God, man, your relationship with God is not right. I don't care what you tell me. If you're not worshiping God, you haven't got God in control of your life. And if you're not worshiping God, you don't have no faith in what he's doing. You really don't believe in him. You hadn't allowed him to work in you. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, every time I slow down enough to consider God, it ends up in praise and worship. How about you? When you really get a picture, I mean, when you really slow down enough time, say, hey, God, man, sorry, God. Sometimes we have to do that. Sorry, God. But it turns into a worship service. Amen? And when I see that God still loves and pursues me in spite of my sin, I can't help but worship him. Does grace mean anything to you people? I'm going to tell you what. The grace that God gave me and he didn't send me to hell, it had effect on me just like it did Paul. It has changed me from the core inside out. And one of the reasons, and we're talking about worship, I mean, it starts with us. It starts with a personal worship. So I'm just going to tell y'all some reasons why I worship God, okay? Personally, I'm just going to get all selfish and I'm just going to testify about how good my God is. But I really believe that he's the same thing for some of you guys as well. When I see him for who he is, for me, God is my father. See, I don't have that father that's a figure that I can really count on, but I'm going to tell you what, God is my father. God fathers me. He teaches me what it is to be a son. And God is my provider. Man, I've seen God provide for me in times where it was just God. And seeing some of the reasons that maybe you're not worshiping God, you're not allowing him to be your provider because you can provide for yourself. You don't need God, you know. God is your provider even if you're doing it on your own. You think he's giving you the money, he's giving you the talent, whatever it is. God is your provider and he should be worshipped for that. And he's my refuge. He's where I run when it gets rough. Some of y'all might run to other things when it gets rough. I'm going to tell you, don't do it. God is our refuge. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's my counselor. He's where I go for counsel. Well, sometimes I go to some of y'all first. Forgive me, Lord. Because he got all the answers, you know. But God is my counselor, okay? And he's my hope. And he is my life. That's why I'm here. Man, if God was not my life, I'd be doing the stuff I used to do all the time. I wouldn't even be here. And he is my confidence. Because I know following him, we're gonna get there. Amen? And so I ask you, man, just to take an inventory of who God is to you, and it'll turn into a worship service, I'll guarantee you. Now, if you can't think of no times when God was anything meaningful and serious to you, I'm going to tell you what, you really need to evaluate yourself whether you're even a believer. Because God takes care of his children. He shows up. He speaks to his children, okay? And so I just beg you, take inventory. Allow God to deal with you. And when I see what he's done, I mean, he saved me from hell. Amen? Come on, that's a big amen, right? He saved me from hell. He saved you from hell, too. He also saved me to free me to the life that I was created for. Man, the life I was living before was not the life I was created for. God has changed my direction, and I'm in a new direction. I got a new song I'm singing now, you know? And he protected me and delivered me personally from generational sin. I promise you. If I would have just followed all my examples and stuff like that, I'd be divorced, angry, and a drunk. I guarantee you. But God can do that. He comes in there and he changes it. I'm going to be the guy to stop divorce in my generation. You know, I quit drinking, you know, and anger, man. So that's something that God has delivered me from. Praise God for that, huh? That's worthy of worshiping somebody, you know. And he also delivered me from dead religion. Man, I was in a church and I was religious. I'm going to tell you, I was going nowhere fast. For 17 years, did nothing. One year at Living Hope, I grew more in 1 year than I did in 17 years. Praise God for people who are living in front of you and will challenge you. And that's what it is here. If you come in here, don't come here just to sit and just act like anything. No, we're gonna challenge you. Because I'm going to tell you what, God is bigger than all this stuff that you see out there. Okay? So we're going to start with a song. Sing to the Lord a new song. And I'm just going to stop right there because when I was reading that just got me. Sing to the Lord a new song. Okay? And it's not saying to make up a new song. Because there's nothing wrong with the old song. The old song is the gospel. Amen. I mean, some people say, man, all y'all do is talk about the gospel. Amen. That's when we're going to continue to just talk about the gospel. Because it's the gospel that has the power to save. It's the gospel that's got the power to do anything, okay? So we're not going to quit singing the gospel. So if the gospel gets boring to you, look out. You're going to hear it some more, okay? But you know, there's some reality to this. Because I'm going to tell you, in that church before, there was a time when Amazing Grace was boring to me. God forbid, huh? God forbid. I mean, those old songs, man, it got to where they were, oh, my gosh, we got to hear those again. And God really, and I'm going to tell you, some of those old songs today now are a new song to me because I have a new heart. I have something inside of me that says, that relates to those words, how great thou art. Any of those old songs. Some of them old songs I just used to hate, man. Can you believe that? Sing to the Lord a new song. It might even be the same old song. You get a new heart, you know? And I was looking at that, and that verse to me, you know, and I'm going to go off just a little bit here, right? Because I look at Peter, and y'all understand, this is a personal thing with me, okay? I want to go and just tell you a little bit about Peter, okay? Peter is one of the good examples of this. Sing to the Lord a new song. And you know, you might say, man, where's he going with all this? But I'm going to tell you, just bear with me, and it'll all come together, I think. I think. Oh. Because sing to the Lord new song means a fresh experience of God's grace. And who experienced more grace than Peter, okay? Peter's that one. You know Peter. He's the big mouth. He's the one that said, man, I'm going to do this. So this story picks up in Matthew 26. And in verse 31, it talks about, it's right after the Lord's Supper. And it's when Jesus says to the disciples, you will all fall away on account of me. And Peter says, no, I'm the super disciple. They may, in verse 33, it says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Peter said, Lord, this is Peter. Peter, remember, I'm the one, everybody else is in the boat. I'm walking on the water, you know. Well, it took my eyes off you just a little bit, but we still walked on the water. Nobody else even tried, okay. So Peter said, no, God, there's no way I'm going to do this. Bold Peter had a worship service with the Lord, okay, praising and worship God. He was witnessing, he was worshiping God, bowing down to him. But in Luke 22:61, and y'all don't have to look for that. I'm just going to kind of go through this stuff. We know by what the Word of God says that didn't happen, okay? We know that Peter denied Christ three times, okay? But on the third time in Luke 22:61, at the point of his third denial, this is something that just really caught, it didn't really catch my eye. I'll share with you where I got this a little bit, just in a little bit. He said, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. In the middle of him denying Christ, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. That before the rooster crowed three times, he's going to deny him, you know. Can you just imagine what Peter felt like? Sitting there denying Christ, looking across the room in the courtyard, and Christ looking him in the eyes, looked him straight in the eyes at the point when he was denying him. That had to be devastating for Peter, huh? I don't imagine Peter wanted to do much worshiping, do you? I don't imagine he did. But the story don't stop there. Because we got a personal God. Because one reason I share this, because, you know, we got these great worship experiences at times, but then sometimes we go through those times where we deny Christ. It may not be verbally like that, but we deny Christ in what we do, okay? And we end up, and sometimes God looks straight at us, and we still were like, man, God, you can never use me again. But the beautiful part of this story right here is the new song that I'm talking about. Mark 16:7, after his resurrection, we know the ladies went to the tomb, right? They met Jesus, they went to the tomb, was empty, and Jesus came to them, and he told them, he said, verse 7, Mark 16. He said, go tell the disciples, because he'd risen again. He's a resurrection. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. That's a personal God. He said, hey, look, first thing on Jesus' mind when he raised from the dead is go tell the disciples. By the way, I know Peter feels kind of bad. You know, I know Peter feels kind of bad. So go tell the disciples and Peter about this, you know. So God searches him out. And can you just imagine, the praise and worship service when Peter said, he remembers me. It's not over, you know. And so it's just amazing to see that our God searches us out. And that's something worthy of be worship, okay. Because he says the same thing to us. Go tell the disciples in Chad. You know, go tell the disciples in John that I still love them, no matter what happens. You know, any of y'all that you feel like you're just unworthy, the Lord pursuing you. And why that is so important to me, because y'all know, I study these things. I want to get the most out of it, and I look for a way to apply them. And this is my story. This is my new song. See, Peter didn't just get a new song out of this. I did too. See, my son Matt, we were going to my other son Brent's house. We were gonna have a grandbaby. It's gonna be a granddaughter. Praise the Lord! All right, y'all just praise with it. There she is, right there. All right. Yeah, y'all don't know that's my other son over there. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to port y'all out. All right. But we were on the way to their house, and me and Matt were in the car, and Matt was telling me about this same story because he went to Tony Evans' church, and this guy was preaching on this, and he was telling me about this. I said, man, that fits for what we're talking about. But then as I was listening to that and trying to apply this to this message, man, the Lord just gave me a new song. Because what he did, sitting across from my son, this may be a little hard for me. Because my son, man, he had some amazing times with the Lord when he was in high school. You know, I mean, went to Super Summer, got saved. Not all saved, you just saved. You know, no more than the other, okay? But the Lord really did something, and he came back. He came back, and man, he just wanted to witness to everybody, you know? And he went to school and began to witness to his friends and all this stuff. And people were proclaiming Christ and stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it was awesome. We were singing a song, you know. But the devil sifted Matt. See, it happened. And the devil come in and he got him for a couple of years, you know. And I'm going to tell you, our relationship, he was still my son. But our relationship was strained just a little bit. Because he didn't want to know anything about the Lord, you know. I mean, he knew. And I got permission to share this. He's given me permission to share this stuff, but it's a testimony. So Matt's sitting there, and over time, the Lord has done some amazing thing in both my son's lives. You know, I got two amazing daughter-in-laws, both love the Lord. And so God has done some amazing things. Matt drifted for a while, but God brought him back. But what God showed me in that car right there, that's a new song right there. What a blessing to know that child that for 2 years I prayed for and cried with some of y'all over, came back to the Lord, and God using him to speak to me. Sing to the Lord a new song, okay? Sing to the Lord a new song, please. Because God is trying to show you things that he's doing just like that in your life. But you just got to, God is always at work around you, okay? For he has done marvelous things. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things, right? Those are the things that make you say, wow. You know, those are the things that make you say, wow, that's marvelous, okay? He's done marvelous things. And with those kind of things, what God is showing us, that he's in control of the past, the present, and the future. And that's the kind of God that's worthy of being praised. Somebody that can control every avenue of our lives, okay? His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. And in the first three verses, and we'll look at the other one separate just in a minute. In the first three verses in this psalm, the word salvation is in each one of them. So salvation is one. It's another thing that we just praise the Lord for. Amen. But salvation to us was a little different. We're looking at, okay, we're saved from hell. We don't have to pay for our sin. Jesus died for us, and he paid the penalty for our sin, and so we are saved. Salvation to these folks meant literally saved from their enemies. I mean, you know, they're singing this song. I mean, it's protection from their enemies, and it's the same thing as us. Okay, when we get saved, God protects us from our enemies. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He protects us from Satan, okay? All right? And it created an atmosphere where freedom was available for them. Again, it's the same thing, the same salvation. But for these folks, God had done a lot of things. He had delivered them from slavery as well, you know? It's an amazing God. And so this salvation, wow. The right hand and his holy arm had worked salvation for him. This is the Lord It says, God has done many marvelous things in the presence of the Israelites, things that showed that he was in control. And the fact that God's in control, every one of us in this room ought to shout for joy. Who wants to be in control of all this mess? I don't want to be in control of nothing. He's in control. Okay. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nation. See, it's not just about us. Even though we serve this real personal God that steps out and gives me those personal blessings, just like I just shared with you, it's all about the nations. And I'm going to tell you, I never really understood it as much as when I went to Haiti. You know, when we ended up in Haiti, and you know, I've seen God in different towns and people, you know, different Christians, and I'm like, oh, that's amazing. God, you're here too. But man, we went to Haiti, and to realize that in a whole other country, same God working mightily, you know. So God has revealed himself to the nation. Psalm 86, 8 through 10 says, among the gods, the little gods, okay, all the ones that we worship a lot of time, there is none like you. All these things that we worship, there's nothing like God. Oh Lord, no deeds compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. Oh Lord, they will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Praise the Lord for that. And here's the thing, God wants to use us, but he's his own evangelist. You know, God's his own evangelist. If he wants it to get known, he's gonna make it known. We just get to be a part of it. Don't get so prideful of the thing that God needs you, okay? God's his own evangelism. He's his own evangelist, okay? Although we are expected, okay? It's because everyone is his. And just like I said before, even if you're not a believer, in 1 Corinthians 12, 10, 26, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in it. So it's a sin for you not to praise and worship our God. Everything. I don't care if you're a believer or non-believer. It's a sin for you not to praise and worship our God. Verse 3 says, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. See, that what that's saying is God remembered Israel, his love. And it's because of his love and faithfulness. That's the kind of God we serve. We got a loving God, unconditional love, okay, and a faithful God that is never going to let us down. That's worthy of praise and worship. But he's a covenant God, okay? God does what he says he's going to do. And covenants are meant to be unbreakable, okay? And me and Dina have been going through this book, The Love Dare, and there's a little part in here about covenant versus contract. God's a covenant God. I think we're sometimes contract people, though. And if I can find it, I'll read it to you. So the difference between a contract, there are many differences between covenants and contract. A contract is a written agreement based on distrust, outlining the conditions and consequences if broken. See, a contract is made to get out of. See, that's not the kind of God we serve. He's not looking for a way to get out, all right? He's a covenant God. A covenant is a verbal commitment based on trust, assuring someone that you promise is that your promise is unconditional and good for life. It is spoken before God out of love for another. A contract is self-serving and comes with limited liability. It establishes a time frame for certain deliverables to be met and accomplished. A covenant is for the benefit of others and comes with unlimited responsibility. It's no expiration date, and it's till death do us part. That's the covenant of marriage, okay? But it says a contract can be broken with mutual consent. See, God does not break his covenant with you. When you become his, you become his. A covenant is intended to be unbreakable. See, the Bible has several major covenants as a part of the unfolding story of God's people. And the reason I'm going into this is because we serve a covenant God, one that's not going to give up on us, and that's worthy to be worshipped and praised. That's another aspect of God that we must understand. Okay? He had a covenant with Noah, promising never to destroy all the flesh in the world with the flood in Genesis. He made a covenant with Abraham, promising that the entire nation of descendants would come from his family line. And we should definitely be amazed with that one, because that includes us. I'm talking as fast as I can. I see y'all doing all that. It's getting hot up here too. He made a covenant with David, promising that the ruler would sit on his throne forever. Ultimately, he made a new covenant by the blood of Christ, and that's the one that we really need to praise the Lord for. Establishing an unending and changing legacy of forgiven sins and eternal life for those who believe in him. See, God never once, ever has broken his promise. That is worthy to be worshipped and praised. Amen? That's worthy to be worshipped and praised. And so our response should be kind of where we started this thing. It says, shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst in jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord and the harp, with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. And I ask you, is he your King? And it's a shout before the Lord, and you think, man, it seems like a lot of noise and commotion. I mean, if you can't get excited, as a believer, if you can't get excited about God, you got a problem. Really, I'm serious. If you can't at least get excited on the inside, I know some of y'all kind of reserved. But let me give you. I just want to give you a little check, okay? If it's okay to not shout in here, if you had a ball game, do you shout? Some of y'all don't. I'm just saying. Some of y'all don't. I'm gonna tell you something happens. I shout, so I'm accountable to shout in here, okay? Some of y'all just really reserved. Y'all, anything can happen. Y'all are gonna sit here like this, you know. Some of y'all just that way. Let God change you in the area of worship, okay? Even if you are that way, allow God to do some things. You know, if you don't want to act a fool at the ball game, that's fine. But some of y'all shout. Y'all need to be shouting in here every now and again, all right? I mean, because the world needs to see that we're excited about Jesus, right? And it ain't about shouting with your mouth. I'm talking about a noticeable worship, okay? And, hey, practice in your car. You know, because this isn't about doing it in front of anybody and getting any credit for it, because I ain't going to give you no credit for shouting, you know. Because honestly, this was weird for me at first. And I remember the first time I went to Living Hope, I was sitting next to Manny, you know. not the first time I went. I was before Manny. I want to let everybody know that. I was there before him. And somebody invited him, so I don't know what happened. You know, one day he ended up sitting next to me. And now I came from the frozen chosen, you know. We didn't do nothing, you know. And man, I get over there, and Manny's, Manny. I mean, he's not just up. Manny being Manny, you know. Manny's going crazy, you know. And I'm sitting there saying, what's wrong with this fool, you know? And then I went to Promise Keepers, and there was a lot of fools in there, you know. And God began to break me about why I would or not do those kind of things. You know what I mean? I didn't want to raise my hand because I didn't want nobody to see me. That was me. It may not be that for you, okay? And in Promise Keepers, there's a lot of guys, they kind of free you up because everybody's doing it, you know? And so it's an atmosphere that allows you to loosen up. And I'm not saying making you raise your hand makes you more spiritual. But for me, it made me more obedient. Because God said, Alan, why are you not doing that? And the reason I wasn't, because I didn't want nobody to see me. That's why I wasn't doing it. Not because I didn't love the Lord, because I love the Lord inside of me. I just didn't know how to express it. But I'm going to tell you what now. It's amazing to be able to do that and raise your hand. There's times God says don't, you know. And that's kind of the testimony with me and Manny. It was kind of funny because as me and Manny got together, because there is that bent towards the other side to get a little too crazy sometimes, you know. But before you decide what too crazy is, look at the Word of God, okay. Don't just say it's too crazy just because it just doesn't make sense to you, okay? Because in the Word of God, I mean, they lifted hands, they lay prostrate on the ground, they shouted, danced, all kinds of instruments, you know? And so for me to say that's wrong is wrong, okay? I mean, I got back from Promise Keepers and went to the church that we used to go to, because that's when I went the first time, and I said, man, this is awesome. And they said, we don't support the charismatic movement. I'm like, y'all don't support any movement. I just saw Jesus. You know, I just saw people being, you know, they're like, you can't even scratch yourself in there without somebody looking at you, you know? And that might be my perspective, okay? Y'all don't judge the whole church over one. I told y'all I wasn't right back then, okay? All right? But God began to wake me up, you know? You know, charismatic movement is loving Jesus, right? Amen. So allow God to move you to try something different. But not just for you, because see, sometimes like with me and Manny, as me and Manny began to get closer, and like I said, there's some abuses, there's some crazy stuff out there, you know? And what I saw with Manny and me is God tamed Manny down some, but he opened me up some for the glory of God, you know? And so it's just really cool to get to see that, because each one of us, all we want to do is please God, right? So allow God to stretch you in that area. Okay, we're almost through. So let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing together with joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Y'all see that picture right there? You got rivers clapping, mountains singing. Have you ever seen a river clap and a mountain sing? I want to suggest to you, if you're truly, truly worshiping God, you do. You do, man. You get out there and you say, God, that is amazing. You get to walk outside and you say, God, that is amazing. Just trees just singing. I mean, if you've ever got out in the woods, God, that's amazing. Even nature worships our God. It's amazing. And it shows, man, that shows God in control more than anything I've ever seen, you know? So when you begin to worship God properly, you begin to see him in everything. Because he is. He is in everything. I mean, it can be a worship spirit just going outside. I just wanted to challenge you. Don't let no tree out-worship you. Okay? That's a tree. The lilies of the field, the flowers in the field. Don't let them out-worship you, because God's done more for you than he's done for a tree. Okay? And not only don't let it happen, because he'll judge us for that, because that's what it says. He will judge the world in righteousness and his people with that inequity. We're going to read Romans 1, 18 through 25, if y'all put that up on the screen for me. Y'all can turn to it if you want to, but I think they have it. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. And see, when you don't worship God, you suppress the truth. You're suppressing the truth when you don't worship our God. Truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So when you see a river clap and a mountain sing, you're without excuse, because God does that. Okay? You're without excuse. And so you are supposed to worship God in that context. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him. See, knowing God's not enough. Okay? They neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks. You can't say you know God and not glorify him and give him thanks. That's what that's saying. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like immortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God. Listen to this. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. See, we make idols out of a lot of things, out of created things, and we forget to worship the Creator. Okay? That's idol worship if you do that ever with anything. Our God is the one who is forever praised. Amen? And so I want to close tonight just challenging you to let God do something different in your worship. Okay? I'm going to read Psalm 150. It's the last psalm in the Psalms there. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. We need to be here. We need to be here. We need to be here praising God, okay? Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. I have a trumpet. I almost brought it. I sure almost did. Praise him with the tambourine. Man, he'll be glad to hear that one. And dancing. Praise him with the strings, the flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Chad loves that one, right? Yeah. Drummers love the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. But this is what, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing, you need to be praising the Lord. If you're breathing, praise the Lord. So tonight is a call of worship. Tonight. But you may be here tonight and say, man, Alan, there's just too much going on. I just can't. I'm going to tell you what, we had some testimonies in that prayer time over there where last week God turned some mourning into praise. Amen? more than one. God can turn your mourning into praise. Right, Sylvia? Praise the Lord for that. Only God can do that. So I offer you 1 Peter 5:7 to take and believe. 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, and he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. See, God loves you, and he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. These are some things we learned tonight, that he saved us. He keeps his promises to us. He's in control. He's always at work around us. He's always got us on his mind. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so tonight, I'm just going to offer you a time of worship. Allow God to bring you to a new area of praise and worship. Maybe you've never been before. Some of y'all, that may mean you just need to bow at the altar, you know. Maybe you've never done that before, you know. Maybe God's tugging on you and say, you know what, let's get a little closer. Let's do something a little out of your comfort zone. Someone, you may be singing for the first time, you know. Just let a noise out, you know. Ain't nobody going to look at you. I didn't mean that. Y'all can't sing. I don't know, you know. Some of y'all, that mean to pray with somebody. And do y'all know, sometimes I really believe that there's time in this service where God lays people on your heart to go pray for, and you don't do it because you're scared of what everybody else thinks, just like I was about raising my hands. That's worship, okay? That's worship and praising the Lord, being obedient to that. And when the body begins to be the body, God will do some amazing things in here. But we got to begin to listen to him, amen? Some of y'all might need to just go on and shout. Raise your hands. All I ask is just let God lead you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I just thank you for how good and amazing that you are. Lord, and you're worthy of, even if we feel like you're asking us to look like a fool, God, you're worthy of that. But Lord, may we always balance that with your word. God, that we would never do anything to distract from your glory, because it's all about your glory. God, so challenge us, Lord. Teach us what it is to worship you. But Lord, let us realize our responsibility, that we are called to worship you. Amen.